Amen, saints. I really appreciate this opportunity to come together and enjoy the Lord with one another. But more than enjoy, I really feel like there's a need for us to pick up the central burden that he has released through this particular training on Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. And I don't have the burden to give a message. I think the messages have been given wonderfully in the training itself. But I'd like to just share something of the way it is impacting me, and I hope all of us, in terms of what are we doing with this kind of sharing. To begin, I'd like to go back to the very beginning of the training, which is that portion that Brother Lee wrote out before giving the life study training. It's called The Hidden Intrinsic Significance of Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. And I won't try to read the whole thing, but I do want to read some key points. In the middle of the first point, he says that we need to see the intrinsic significance of God's purpose in presenting us the histories and giving us the prophecies of the Old Testament. The scope, the center, and the intrinsic significance of all the histories and prophecies of the Old Testament must be Christ and his body, which will ultimately consummate in the New Jerusalem for God's eternal economy. And I think, brothers, sisters, we have to be made aware in a fresh way that we are in the throes of a fierce battle against God's economy and for God's economy. In other words, there is a fierce battle that is in the world today, directly against the economy of God, specifically denying God, denying the origin of God, denying anything of Christ, denying everything of the church life, denying what is God's eternal purpose, denying there is such a thing. The whole universe is filled with this kind of warfare right now. The enemy is doing his best to trap and to defeat every believer. And God is doing his best to lift up his people, to bring us into harmony with him and oneness with him, to carry out his purpose. God has a purpose, saints. We acknowledge that. We know that. But in our daily living, are we living that? I don't mean do we read the Bible? Do we pray? We do. But is there that kind of deep sense within? We are coordinating with a living God to bring his kingdom to this earth, to put to shame the enemy. This is the deep sense within me. We are in a battlefield. So when we talk about what this training is about, Brother Lee goes on to say, for God to accomplish such an eternal economy of his, he needed to create the heavens for the earth and the earth for man. He needed to create the heavens for the earth and the earth for man. He needed to create within man a spirit. And that man, that spirit gave man the way to contact him, receive him, keep him, take him as man's life. Then, sadly, Brother Lee said, that man fell. That created being that was fully equipped to carry out God's purpose was defeated. Then God chose another. God chose Abraham with his descendants. And he goes on to say that he made them a particular people as his dear elect among all the nations. Then going down a little bit, God brought such an elect of his through trials, sufferings in both Egypt and the wilderness, that they might be trained, disciplined, and qualified to coordinate with him in taking his promised land for Christ on this earth and in providing the proper persons to bring both, to bring forth Christ into the human race. Goes on to say that to take possession of the promised land for Christ, that is to take possession of Christ for Christ, is the first key point of what God is doing in this day, in this training, but in this day with us, because we're now receiving that training in a fresh, living way. And the second thing is that he would bring forth the bona fide ancestors for Christ. This is the spirit, he said, of the history of Joshua to Ruth. These two things, to gain the land, to really take the land, and to bring forth ancestors, proper ancestors for Christ. Then I'm going to point number three. If by the Lord's mercy we would see such a vision, this section of the history of the Old Testament will benefit us the same as the New Testament does. So when we enter into this, we don't enter into it as something of the Old Testament only, but we enter into it as God's present speaking. It is a New Testament factor in our living. Such a vision will help us to see that the history of God's people on earth is actually the history of working God, of the working God energizing among his chosen people in the Old Testament, and even the history of the operating God energizing in his redeemed people and having them to energize together with him for the accomplishment of his eternal economy concerning Christ and his increase, which will consummate in the New Jerusalem. We've considered that God needs a people in a very real sense, if we understand the word properly. When one believes, he's doing God a favor. He's joining himself to God. He's not just getting something for himself. He's getting something for God. And when we carry out this purpose, our purpose is to be one with God. It's not to carry out something that is good only for humanity. It surely is. But it is something God desires. God is laboring for this. So Brother Lee said, I hope that through this training, we can see and realize that our living, our daily walk, our schooling, our job, and our business must be a part of God's history in his marvelous and excellent move on the earth today. To be a normal Christian, to be one of today's overcomers, to answer the Lord's present calling, and to meet the Lord's present need in his recovery, it is altogether not sufficient to just be so-called good brother or good sister, attending the church meetings regularly, behaving rightly, and living a life that is somewhat perfect in the eyes of men. We need to be one with God in his history, moving and energizing, in his loving overcomers, in life, in living, and in our entire doing today on this earth. We need to write God's today's history. We need to march on as one with the energizing God, in him, with him, by him and for him. We need to be vital, living, and active. We need to be today's Joshuas and Calebs to take possession of the God-promised land for Christ, that we may become his possession. We need to be today's Ruths to turn to God's economy, to enter into the land of Emmanuel, and to marry ourselves to Christ, that we may bring forth Christ to meet men's need today. This should be the intrinsic significance of these three books, Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. The issue of this training should be the gaining of the God-promised land for Christ and the bringing forth of the excellent Christ to meet today's need of both God and men. Well, saints, this sets the tone of what is deep within my being just in these days is stirring within me, that we are here in a time that is unprecedented, a situation that is unprecedented. We are here in a recovery that is unprecedented. What the Lord has done today to raise up his recovery is no small thing. He has, in the same way that he gained a people in Egypt and brought them out, brought them through the wilderness, brought them into the good land, brought them to the gaining of that good land, and established them as his people. What he was doing with them still was not able to be completed, because the better things, Hebrews tells us, was being planned for us. We are here at this time for this purpose to be fully realized, for the economy of God to be worked out right now, right here in our daily living. We are here by the great grace of God. I was thinking and reading this portion from Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul lays the foundation, pointing out that we all were dead. We all were under the spirit of this age, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in offenses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together with Christ and seated us together with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. We believe the Bible. We believe God, full of mercy, full of love, has redeemed us, has regenerated us, has uplifted us, has seated us together with Christ. We believe that we are one with the crucified and resurrected and ascended Christ. We believe the Bible. But saints, many times we're not living as believers. We're living somewhat contrary to what we are teaching, to what we are speaking. We are living without this energizing Christ operating within us. There is a great deep need for us to have a repentance before God, for us to open our entire being up to him and to give him the ground to constitute us with himself and bring us into what it is that he deeply desires on the earth today. To carry this out, we surely need the word of God. We need to eat the word. So I've chosen the fifth message. Any one of the messages are wonderful, but I felt the fifth message matched what was stirring within me. And that is, first of all, to be constituted with the produce of the good land. And secondly, to be in the allotment of that good land. If I don't, again, I'm not trying to give the message again. It was wonderfully given by our brother Mark. What I'm doing is simply reviewing something of what the Lord has been stirring within me. The first Roman numeral says that after the children of Israel entered the land of Canaan, the manna ceased. There was no longer manna, but they ate of the yield of the land of Canaan. So there was a big transition at that point in time. And then it goes on to review the transitions that had taken place. First of all, that the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt by the eating of the Passover lamb. It was a matter of eating. They took it in. Saints, I'm going to just pause for a moment before I go on with this to share with you a portion which I read out of the Christian Post concerning the situation among many who call themselves born again. They say that they believe that Jesus has saved them, and it still makes a difference in them. But let me just read to you what the viewpoint of the many younger believers today, under this kind of pressure that I was describing earlier. The enemy is doing everything he can to kill the faith, to destroy the believing. And these more than, this is the quote now, more than 60% of born-again Christians in America between the ages of 18 and 39 believe that Buddha, Muhammad, and Jesus are all valid paths to salvation. 60% of those who describe themselves as born again believe that there are pluralistic ways to God. And then it goes on to say 30%, over 30%, say that they either believe that Jesus sinned just like other people when he lived on earth, or they aren't sure. According to this new study, there's a striking decline in evangelical religious beliefs and practices over the last 10 years as the number of self-proclaimed believers to hold these beliefs, that is concerning the pluralistic paths to salvation or questioning the sinlessness of our Lord Jesus, has increased by nearly 25%. This is according to the Probe Ministries in a statement announcing the results of its religious views and practices survey. Now, Saints, I understand we're not talking about people in the Lord's recovery here, but we're talking about an age group that has been bombarded for years with this kind of teaching and this kind of speaking. And I have no doubt that among us there are those who are shaken by this kind of thing. So when we talk about getting into the Word of God, eating the Word of God, we're not talking about a luxury. We're not talking about doing our duty. We're talking about a life matter. Tomorrow you'll be talking about the way of life. Life begins with the truth of the Word of God being deposited into our being. Life is Christ operating, moving through His Word in us as the Spirit. Life is God Himself moving in us, operating in us. We have the word in Philippians chapter 2, encouraging us to work out our own salvation because or for it is God who operates in you, both the working and the willing of His good pleasure. Then what? We are to be luminaries in this wicked and perverted generation, shining out, holding forth the word of life. But you can't hold forth something that you're not fully involved in. I'm very touched by this week's fellowship in the morning revival, which many of us have started the book of this book, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and the morning revival. And this week's morning revival speaks specifically about the equipping with the word, the truth. And being in the truth is altogether a matter of faith. We need to believe the word. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We must believe. We must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But how are you going to believe that if you're not eating the Word of God? You remember the Lord Jesus told us, as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, even he shall live because of me. We live because of Christ as the word taken into us, assimilated into our being, digested into us, and assimilated into us. We are here taking in this Christ by the word of God. So Brother Lee was quoted this time at least 30 minutes a day. 10 minutes at a time. How low is the bar set there in order to just encourage us, come forward? This should be what we are involved in every moment of every day. We should be, and we were seeing that even today, this matter of musing on the word. And musing is speaking it. Speaking it to one another, speaking it to ourselves. Even our brother said, rebuking yourself from time to time. I don't know how it is with you. With me, I often am rebuking myself because the word of God is operating. It's moving. It's exposing. It's making us realize how utterly hopeless we are apart from this living God. How utterly empty we are if we're not taking Him in. The whole atmosphere that we're living in today is one that is soaked with anti-God. The whole thing of, for example, even the matter of origin. This world we just read, this world was brought into being by God, the heavens for the earth, and the earth for man, and man with a spirit for God. But the evolutionary theory, which is proclaimed as gospel, is utter nonsense. It has no base. Yet many, many of the Christians are convinced this is true. This is not the way God has created things. God created. God brought forth. not some kind of a spontaneous combustion of some nonsensical origin. There's no such thing. Then I was fellowshipping with some brothers the other day, and I'm speaking this way, and I just had the thought, okay, somebody asked me, are you a scientist? No, I'm not a scientist. Well, are you a philosopher? No, I'm not a philosopher. Well, are you a minister? No, I'm not a minister. Well, what are you? I'm a God man. I'm a man who is mingled together with God. I am God living on the earth today. Do you believe it? I believe it. I believe this is who we are. We are the new creation. We are not that old creation trying to live a good life for God. We are the new creation. But saints, if we're not in this word, if we're not soaking ourselves with this word, we do not have that conviction. We will be listening to the noise that's going on out there. Oh, you know, the only game in town is the Darwinian theory. That's the only way. Otherwise, you're stuck with God. Sorry, saints, you may feel I'm too much, but to me, this is where we are. And my feeling is we better start speaking it. We better start speaking it to ourselves, and we better start speaking it to our neighbors, to our friends, speaking it. There is a speaking in this earth today that is shameful, full of nonsense, full of hatred, full of darkness, full of strife. We ought to be speaking, not in a way of trying to put that down, but in the way of lifting up who Christ is and who we are. We are God men. We are those who are mingled together with God. We are a living testimony of a living God. We were brought out of Egypt by eating. That is, again, I don't know your history. My history was, I was an unbeliever. I was an agnostic or even an atheist. And I was brought into a situation where I felt, okay, maybe I should read the Bible. Just see what it says. And I began to read the Bible. That was my eating to get out of Egypt. Just reading the Bible. There wasn't any great exercise over it. Just reading. But one day I just came to a conclusion. If God is, then I'm a fool. And I bowed myself before the Lord and said, Lord, if you are, I'd like to know you. I would say I didn't have a dynamic salvation. I just made that statement. But then I had the feeling I should spend a little more time reading the Bible. And then I had the feeling to start memorizing some verses. I was enjoying something like I was going through this wilderness, and there was just something happening in me. It was the manna. It was coming to me. I wasn't laboring for it. It was just there. I was enjoying eating. Hallelujah. Oh, what a grace has been given to us, saints, that we could eat this hidden manna now. We can eat what God has put within us by our taking in the word of God, the memorizing of the word of God, and the speaking out of the word of God. I was driving back and forth to Davis from Chico area, and I was memorizing these scriptures, and then I would be repeating them as I was driving, about a 2-hour drive. And I would just get excited with speaking these things until eventually I was preaching. I was just preaching to nothing. It was an exciting time, a joyful time. I was being brought through the wilderness. Then one day, the Lord brought me to the recovery. Hallelujah. Oh, what mercy, saints, that we're here. And when he brought me to the recovery, the manna ceased. When he brought me to the recovery, there was the need to exercise, to be really scheduled to take in the word of God, not to let it happen, but to schedule it, to schedule not only reading it, but considering it and considering the life study messages, taking them in, letting this become a constituent in my being. This was new. It was a labor for these things. And today I'm still laboring, still digging out, still looking for the riches of Christ. But today, in doing that, one of the things that has become so so rich and enjoyable to me is to seek with the saints. It's to have companions reading together this ministry. It's to have companions considering together, fellowshipping together, praying together, the twos and threes. Saints, this ministry is the opening of the word of God. It opens to us step by step what is God's eternal purpose and the way for us to enjoy God. Not only so, it conveys that into us. It's not just that we're here reading something. We're here musing. I really like that word after today in particular. Musing on this, speaking it to yourself, speaking it to God, speaking it out loud, speaking to the, in a sense, you could say, speaking to your cat, your dog, speaking, just making this word come out of your mouth. It's the opening of your mouth. It's the opening of our entire being to the Lord. Saints, the Lord is so, I almost said anxious. He's never anxious, but he is anticipating to the uttermost a bringing together of his people, an establishing of his people who take this land, who take Christ for Christ, who gain Christ for Christ, and who become those who are bringing forth Christ. In the eating, in the drinking, in the enjoying of all that God is, there is a constitution. It is changing our being. If you spend 1/2 hour every day really diving into the word, I don't mean dealing with it as you did in the wilderness. I don't mean just reading it or just even memorizing it and enjoying it. But this is a digging into it. This is a constitution. It's not a short-term blessing. It is a constitution in our being. It changes the way we think. If you're like me, you really need to have a change in your thinking. And I don't think you're too much different than I am. I think that we are all desperately in need of the renewing of the mind, that we all need to no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, if you consider what kind of nonsense is being spoken these days, if you spend your time considering that, it will utterly ruin you. Don't let it be what occupies you. Don't let it be the junk food that you're taking in. Don't allow these things to occupy your mind. Muse on the Word of God. Consider the Word of God. Pray the Word of God. Speak the Word of God. Go forth with the Word of God. Be a people who are people of the Word. Be a people who can say definitely, I am a God-man. Not because I learned it, but because I'm experiencing it. When I was a young man, I mean, really a young man. I was in my 20s still. I was in La Mesa, California, on a Easter morning. And my neighbor, I was out walking my daughter, who was just a baby at that point, just a toddler. And he said to me, how do you know that he was raised from the dead? Were you there? And I said, no, I wasn't there. But I do know that he's living because I just talked with him this morning. And he said, that's the only thing you could have said to me. I can't count it. I think we have to be those who are speaking these things to our neighbors boldly, infusing them. We are a people, saints, we are a very blessed people. And we are a people who have been fully chosen by God in a marvelous way. He has come into us and he has given us this ministry to constitute us, but we have to be those cooperating with him. We have to be, as he said in this portion, with him, for him. We have to be a people who are one with God, a people who care for his interests, a people who don't care for what's going to happen in this world. It can happen. It will happen. Everything that happens is under the hand of our dear Lord. We're not concerned with how that's going to turn out. We're concerned with what he is doing in that and through that. Yes, of course, we pray. We pray much for the people who are suffering in these particular days. They're going through so much. I don't mean that we have a hard heart toward them. But what I mean is that is not where we are centered. The center is Christ and his body. The center is what God is doing in the earth today. So there is the word here concerning the matter of the produce of the land. Eating that produce by laboring on it. But then there's the second part, which is the intrinsic significance of the allotment of the good land. And that is that we, the possessors of the land, experience the one Christ in different ways. Okay, we experience this one Christ in different ways because according to God's sovereignty, we have been put into the body of Christ as it pleased him. Some of us are hands, some of us are eyes, some of us are ears, some of us are feet, legs. We are different participants in what Christ is. So we have a different portion. But the thing that has impressed me, every member must function. There should not be one of us who feels, okay, I'm not yet ready, or my time is over. No such thing. We are members in the body of Christ right now. We are up-to-date members. We are functioning members. If we are not living in this life today, we are robbing God and we are destroying our own life. I'm very concerned for our young people. I feel that we need to be not only praying much for them, but seeking them out and fellowshipping with them, caring for them. Some of us in particular have that kind of burden. We need to take care of them. We need to take care of our children. We need to take care of the new ones. We need to take care of the campus people. We need to take care of people in every walk of life. We need to take care of one another. We need to be the functioning members in the body of Christ. We need to be one with him for him to carry out his purpose. Saints, this is not a kind of dream. This is the economy of God. This is what he has planned and purposed. And this is what he is working out. At the same time, we have to learn to cooperate with him. We have to be those who lay aside all the other things. I don't know how many things you let yourself be occupied with. The internet is a terrible thing or a marvelous help. Depends on what we do with it. The situation in the world today is full of lust that is fully supported by the internet. There are some, even believers among us, asking for help. How do I get out of the addiction? Let me tell you, the first thing you do is repent to the Lord that you ever got into it. The second thing you do is come to him and say, Lord, unveil to me the rich supply of what you are. Unveil to me that I can see you as my life. Unveil to me the vision, Lord, that will captivate me. Don't try to change yourself. It won't work. But do call on the Lord and do seek the word of God, not to answer your issue, but just to be infused with what the word is. Let the word of God, the apostle said, dwell in you richly. Christ said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done for you. The word of God is living and operative, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and spirit. Take the word of God. Live by the word of God. I'm very encouraged by the word that's given to us at the end of John's epistle, first epistle, where he said, we know the whole world lies in the evil one or the pernicious one, the actively evil one. But then he goes on to say, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we might know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. Saints, what a mercy that we have this kind of grace given to us. He has come and he has opened to us the word of God. Then earlier in John's epistle, he said, he that has the Son has the light. He that has not the Son of God has not the light. Now I'd like to remind you of the portion in John chapter 8, where the Lord Jesus, I'm going to read to you, chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. The Lord said, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That truth will set you free from every addiction. That truth will set you free from every kind of distraction. If you abide in my word. The word abide here, I believe, is meno, which is a general word for abide, indicating be mingled with, continue in. The word abide in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, where he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, is enokeo, which is a living in or abiding in. And then there's another word where he talks about Christ making home in us, katokeo. Okay, all of these words are indicating abiding, continuing, living, being in, being one with, live in this person. Well, here the Lord Jesus in John 8 says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Then, of course, the opposers answered him, and they said to him, we are Abraham's seed, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. So how is it that you say you shall become free? And the Lord Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Then he said, the slave does not abide in the house forever. The Son does abide forever. I really appreciate that word in a fresh way. The Son does abide forever. The slave doesn't, but the Son does. And then he said, if therefore the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. What this indicates to me, saints, is be in the Word of God. Live in the Word of God. Consider the Word of God. Muse on the Word of God. Speak the Word of God. Don't let yourself be occupied with other things. Okay, if you are an addict in whatever area, you will have your moments of failure. Don't count your moments of failure. Count the moments that you're really enjoying the Lord. Don't look at the failure. Look at the Lord. Enjoy the Lord. Take in the Lord. Don't try to be somebody. Just let the Lord be in you what he has promised to be. If you abide in my word, if you take in my word, if you live because of my word, if you enjoy my word, if the word becomes that kind of freshness within you, you will be my disciple. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And then, if the Son sets you free, You are free indeed. Saints, we have been brought into the Lord's recovery, the eternal economy of God. We are a very special people, not because of ourselves, but because of his grace and mercy. We have been lifted out of the dark age and seated with Christ in the heavens. We have been separated to him through death and resurrection. We now participate in his death every day in order that we would be in his resurrection every day. The death operates in us. How does it operate in us? Simply by denying yourself. Well, you say, well, that's a big order. Well, it's a big order if you're trying to deny yourself by yourself. But if you get into the word of God and let that word abide in you, you will be free. The promise is true. The cost is set your whole being. Make a commitment to the Lord that you will be in his word. I don't know how much you will be able to say. Don't make it an exaggeration. But you will be in his word consistently. You will schedule to be in the word. Not only so, schedule to be in the word with others. Schedule to read together with others. Not to impress one another with what we know, but to allow that word to abide in us. I was reading with some brothers through the perfecting training again, and enjoying again Brother Lee's fellowship. And one of the things he said we need to do in order to be in the presence of the Lord is, number one, humble our heart. First of all, our heart, humble our heart, which means basically to tell the Lord, Lord, I need you. I really need you. Without you, I am nothing. I have nothing. I can do nothing. Then he said, the second thing is open your mind. Humble your heart. Open your mind. To open your mind means put away all those other thoughts. And one thing, I'm going to interrupt this here to just give you one thing he had said a little earlier, is ask the question in terms of what you are doing. Is this Jesus? That's a big help. Is this Jesus? When you're about to speak to your wife in a way that is not so proper, is this Jesus? When you're about to listen to a program that is not going to help you, is this Jesus? When you're going to read or you're going to go on the internet, is this Jesus? To open your mind to him means that you close your mind to a lot of other stuff. You put aside everything else. In the time that you schedule with the Lord, that's the Lord's time. Don't let anything rob you of that. Don't let anything rob you of that. Put aside everything to gain Christ. And then the third thing he said, again, he said, humble your heart. Open your mind. And then be poor in spirit. Empty your spirit, which is basically to realize, he said, that you don't merit anything. You have nothing that qualifies to merit the grace of God. But his grace is with you. Empty your spirit. So those three I put together with the help of a brother, Hop. Humble your heart, open your mind, be poor in spirit. Saints, we're faced with a wonderful opportunity and a very, very sober situation. May the Lord grace us even this weekend to have a new consecration and a new beginning to take in the Word of God and live that Word in oneness with our dear Lord. Amen.